888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
There, welcome back. Dr. Duke Pesta with us of the Dr. Duke Show, and of course Uncle Milty. Can it be a better Monday? I think not. If you have not caught the Dr. Duke Show, you're missing out. You've got to catch the show. Dr. Duke will say stuff that no one else will say, and this is why we have him on the show, is because he is that voice, and boy, does he say it so eloquently. I've never seen somebody be put in their place in a better way than what Duke can offer up. I love it. Welcome back to the show, of course. We're so glad you're joining us. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. I'm Kate Daly, your host, and happy to have these two gentlemen with me today, trying to make sense of this culture and what is going on. It's insane.
Yeah, and you guys, I think we had a great, I wish that you could hear maybe a behind the scenes.
Right.
You guys, we got to start taping.
We should.
With the three of us talk about when it's in commercial and then put it beyond the firewall, because we had a great conversation. And I don't think anybody's thinking about this. One of the reasons that Trump, I think, is so invaluable is that he's the first American Republican president, perhaps since Reagan, that is actually moving the cultural needle on social issues back to the right.
Yes.
George Bush's social conscience was completely leftist. You know, what you've got here is a situation with Trump where, even though ironically, he himself has not lived, for lack of a better word, a sinless life, right?
to say the least.
He's had the Playboy, he's got his warped. But nevertheless, I think he's the first president in my lifetime since Reagan who is actually pushing social. It's not just about when Republicans get in, it's all about the economy, stupid, right? It's all we care about. Yet the economy is booming. I think the bigger advantage of having Donald Trump as president is he is actually quietly fighting for what most traditional Christian Americans believe. He's fighting for control of our borders, which is not to say we end on immigration, but we monitor it. He's been very vocal speaking out against the abortionists.
Right.
One of the reasons he really wanted to nominate somebody like Kavanaugh was his bona fides with regards to life issues. He has dutifully attended prayer breakfasts. He has very much the social fabric of the culture. We conservatives have been getting hammered on the culture war for 50 years. We've lost almost every battle. It's because our Republican leadership, our conservative leadership, has not moved the media. Take a guy like Mitt Romney, and you know all about him.
Oh, yeah.
This guy is supposed to be a devout Mormon. He's supposed to be a Boy Scout. He's what? He gave Massachusetts single-payer health care, basically.
He's very pro-abortion, too.
Pro-abortion. These are supposed to be the Republican choir boys on our side, and they've surrendered to the left on every major social issue. George Bush and his entire family are part of the radical open borders crowd.
Oh, his father was one of the biggest supporters of Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely. And his brother, Jeb, is the most open borders guy you're ever going to see.
Yep.
And yet then you turn around and you watch Donald Trump with his questionable moral choices in his life, who has been a real defender. He is moving the needle culturally for the first time in 40, 50 years. It's beginning to move the other way. And I think it's because Trump is allowing it to move. Trump is not torpedoing conservative values when he's president. He's trying to reinforce them, which is something I didn't think I'd ever see it again in my lifetime.
I also think that's part of where the hatred comes from. They used to think he was one of them. You know, and it turns out he really isn't one of them. He was never evil. Well, he was never really bad. He just wasn't necessarily the most moral guy on the block.
Well, I don't know if anybody with that kind of background, with this moral perfection, could have made it 2 seconds in Washington either, though. You got to swim in that swamp. There's no way somebody would last. Yeah.
He was a real estate developer in New York. Do you know how many dirty hands he must have greased? Do you know how much money that in his building campaigns had to go to mafia sources just as de rigueur of doing business in New York? Do you know how many payoffs there had to have been and how many health inspectors had to be bribed? I'm not saying he bribed them. I'm saying how much of being a mega businessman builder in New York requires that kind of stuff. And so, and he's been was a big Hillary Clinton supporter for 20 years, right? He almost had to be in New York.
Right.
Nevertheless, he ran on a campaign of being an outsider. And it wasn't just an outsider to the political process. He was he ran as an outsider to the worldview and the moral worldview of the progressives in Washington. Again, it doesn't mean, one of the great paradoxes of Donald Trump doesn't mean that he himself is morally virtuous, but he has respect for traditional moral values of Americans, and he has done a lot to promote them.
Yep.
The way he dealt, the way he tried to get Otto Wambier back, for instance, the various things that he's done, human things, humane things, reaching out to individuals.
Right.
That's something pretty remarkable.
You know, it's interesting to me when I'm looking at Trump, because we say this about Trump as far as moving the needle towards the cultural right, towards the longing for what we used to have and trying to get back there, because the left has so skewed it in so many ways that somebody automatically thinks that I think that he understands the Constitution, too. That doesn't necessarily equate. That doesn't mean that he understands fully the Constitution or is going to stand by that 24/7, nor would I expect anyone in Washington at this point, because they're not going to allow anyone near Washington that does that. But let me say this. Daniel Estulin was on the show, and he talked about the Rockefellers owning many, many of our presidents. Like you said, going back to Reagan, you can't find anybody that, that actually represents this or wants to move the needle in this direction. And it's because when the Rockefellers and Wall Street and all of them join forces to own somebody, they like to own somebody that brings in this progressive leftist nonsense, this 100 genders, this all of this cultural change that most of America is going, and this is why we're supporting, that's why people support Trump. This is exactly why they stand behind him, is they know at least he's in the corner of that. If nothing else, I don't have many expectations, at least he's in the corner of moving the needle. Back.
And for four decades, the progressive left has been willing to trade modest policy gains for Republicans for huge cultural gains for liberals, right?
Yeah.
So they would give us a little bit on the politics. We would win an election here. We'd have 30 state governors there. They were willing to concede that as long as the culture kept moving left, which meant with every successive generation of kids graduating from liberal indoctrination centers, the more left the country was going to go. And Trump has seemed to reverse that. Trump is winning politically, but the fact that his environment, his economy is doing so well, lowest level of black unemployment ever registered, makes it hard to pander to blacks and minorities. A number of Latino groups came out and said that they want an end to illegal immigration.
Yeah.
So usually you could use a bad economy to scare minority voters into jumping on socially with the social values of the left. But that's not going to work this time, I don't think, because the social values were always, for blacks and Hispanics, tended to be more Christian than less, right? And so with the economy booming and black and Latino unemployment at all and women's unemployment at an all-time low, they're not going to be able to play that game. I think that the environment, the economy, I should say, is good enough that minority voices can be culturally what they were, right? And so I think that's why. And that's why the left is screaming and bleeding so loudly. They're bleeding so loudly because I think they feel the foundation, the social justice foundation of the last 50 years turning to sand beneath them. People are turning back to something else. And isn't it ironic that of all the people to wittingly or unwittingly spearhead this movement, it's Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that's happened, though, is the media, even though they don't publish anything good, is being bypassed by social media. And the word is getting out. You know, the father of that Parkland girl that got shot and killed, he came out today, and he came out originally really angry about gun control. Today he said, guns didn't kill my daughter. Democratic policies did.
Wow. And that's why, that's why I think it goes back. I think that when you go back to Trump and you go back to all the things that he's standing for, too, I don't think the Rockefellers have a hold on him or own him in the way that they've owned all the presidents up till now, all the Democratic policies up till now, all of the issuance of the whole culture stampeding towards the left. And that's why he'll be reelected again, even for that, because you can't get a whole lot of other stuff to happen, even for that reason, I think would be a reason that a lot of people are going to clamor to vote for him.
And I urge you to vote for him, because if you think about that night 3 years ago when Donald Trump won, and what a shock it was, and the kind of misery, the sort of epiphanic moment the left had, the oh blank moment the left had. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine after 4 years of these kinds of irrational assaults on Donald Trump, his policies, his nominees for various positions, his court appointees, imagine what's going to happen to the progressive left if after all of the media allies, all of their Hollywood allies, all of their Silicon Valley allies, lying, and distorting that record, if he gets elected again and he has nothing to fear, he won't have to run again. It's going to be a tidal wave of joy for those of us on the right.
Let's take a caller. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Duke Pesta. Go right ahead.
Hey, Dr. Duke, and I apologize, Kate, if you guys already covered this today.
What's up?
But I was wondering about what your thoughts were on the Iranian supposed bombing of the Saudi oil refinery, and if it really was Iran.
Okay, all right. Thanks for the call.
You guys' take. I'm really interested in what you guys think.
Thanks for the call. Go right ahead.
That's a region of the world where it's probably dangerous to speak too soon. I think the caller was expressing a little doubt in the way he phrased his question. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of doubt, too.
I do, too.
However, when you've got the response of the Iranians being, we're locked and loaded ourselves, we have missiles that will destroy your battleships, if Iran has nothing to do with this, that strikes me as an odd way to go about it.
Oh, isn't that the truth? I'm so glad you said that, because on this show, we'll expose a lot of that all the time, and especially what we did with Syria. And then, lo and behold, the reports come out that what happened in Syria wasn't due to what they told us in the media for years. So I'm so glad you said that.
Well, just before we came on the air, the president was being asked some questions as he was getting on the helicopter. And one of the reporters said, do you want to go to war with Iran? Yeah. And he said, I don't want to go to war with anyone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
End of story.
Not a bad stance, actually.
No, but equally good stance is when he says to the Iranians, look, if it is you, if you are trying to disrupt, and they're doing it in the Strait of Hormuz anyway, right?
They're trying
to block ships. They've attacked. They undoubtedly have attacked certain kinds of shipping, oil-based shipping. We know that's an absolute fact, and Donald Trump has shown great restraint there.
Yep.
So the fact that they're trying to disrupt oil and disrupt the free market economy when it comes to gasoline and oil, we know they're doing it, so is it really that far-fetched to think that it would be impossible they would do something like this? Again, I'm reserving my judgment, too, because I'm always suspicious of that kind of stuff.
Me, too.
But Donald Trump is interesting. He says, I don't want to go to war, and he means it. But then, unlike previous presidents, he's willing to look the Iranians in the eye and says, if you want war, you're going to get it, and it's not really good for you.
Right.
I mean, you can't – too many of our presidents have gone one way or the other, all bluster, that like Bush, that then you had to follow up with, right? Once you've blustered, you had to keep going.
Yeah. Right.
Bush didn't have that ability to back off, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And yet, this is a guy, I think, who has been able to do both. He's able to make it very clear, and maybe that looks absurd sometimes, reaching out and trying to negotiate with the Taliban. Fair enough, but at least it's trying to be creative so that threats and war are not the only two things on your plate.
Well, yeah.
Well, another issue is, though, that it was his policies that made us a net exporter.
Of oil.
Which put us in a position where this really isn't hurting us so bad either.
Right, right.
But if our cost of oil was going up 20%, that would be a little tougher.
And you're talking about negotiations. Wasn't it McCain who called a negotiation going over and dealing with arms with ISIS? So, I mean, there's all kinds of negotiations. I actually like what Trump is saying, and I think a lot of people should be appreciative of that. And I think they are, because we have clearly seen that all of this hasn't gotten us anywhere, especially like our time in Afghanistan. It's not getting us anywhere.
No.
So hopefully people are seeing beyond it.
It was Captain Progressive Obama who sought to destroy the fossil fueled production in this country, and all the while paying Americans were paying Brazilians to drill their own oil.
Yeah. Right. And kissing the ring of Saudi Arabia, too. Obama.
And then waging war against Libya.
Yes, for sure. And so there's so much there. And I can so appreciate the caller. Because, of course, I'm actually on board with Pesta on this one. I definitely think I think you're right. And catch the Dr. Duke show. Do yourself a favor. He's going to say all the things that you want to hear. And a lot of the things people don't want to hear, which is what I really respect Dr. Pesta for, is that he's out there calling it as he sees it. Catch his show. Aren't you on four times a week now?
Four times a week.
Jeez, it's anywhere
you go and do podcasting. It's absolutely free. It's the Dr. Duke Show. We do 15-minute segments Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and a half an hour on Thursday. No show like it in terms of education news.
Oh, I love it. It's good. Oh, it's good. You're going to love it. Thanks, Dr. Duke. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. God bless.
Catch a show Thursday after mine on Facebook, and we'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Now, you know you can't go anywhere, right? Because we got a lot to talk about, and we'll take your calls as well. 888-673-1450. Get your dialing finger ready. Be right back.